Okie dokie, boys and girls. And it is an area fishing report with Fish and Frank and the one and only Blind Tarpon Robert. And all kinds of stuff going on this week. Some of it good, some of it bad. First thing to say is heart goes out to all those people up in the Carolinas and Virginias and all that for the storm that almost was and won't go away. When you get a storm like a Category 4 coming at you, there's my rules of hurricane stuff. Okay, if it's a Category 1, I try not to drink too much. I would say that's my first rule. On a Category 2, I want to make sure everything's picked up and put away. And I'm probably not going to drink. I'm going to probably, you know, be cautious while I'm sitting on the porch watching TV and having a non-adult beverage. And Category 3, I'm going to really hunker down. I'm going to make sure everything is right and tight. I mean, boards and windows, make sure everything's, you know, secured, strapped down, tied down. I put those shed anchors in the ground next to my boat trailer, and I strap it down to there, make sure everything's good, and then hunker down. Category 4, I lift my skirt, scream like a little girl who just broke her Barbie, and run for Vegas. Because there is, once it's a Category 4 or higher, the only thing you can hope to do is survive. You cannot fix anything. You cannot help with anything. If you try and do anything, you will just get hurt. And some people are just dumb luck and they don't. But so many of my friends during Hurricane Charlie tried to hold the door closed, broke necks, broke their backs, ruptured spines, broken legs, arms. We had a lot of injuries that people don't know about from that Category 4. And the first thing you learn is I jumped in the bathtub, we pulled a mattress over us, and we sat there while the worst of it was going on. And if you do pretty much anything else, you're probably going to get hurt. Because in Category 2, you can go out, close a shutter, you can do stuff. You know, it's dangerous, but you'll probably live through it. In a Category 4, you're probably going to be bad off.
Yeah.
Something bad's going to happen to you. So, where the hurricane came in up there, it is going to be the most frustrating thing in the world. Robert, can you imagine? This thing started raining on them on Thursday. They had to evacuate Wednesday, Thursday. So, Friday it goes on. And it comes in, it's a Cat 2. In some small areas, it's doing a lot of damage, a lot of flooding, but in other areas, it's pretty much okay. They get a couple down power lines. So that's Friday. Usually, storm comes in on Friday, Saturday, the power companies come in. The most beautiful sight you will ever see, I would say one of two most beautiful sights you would ever see, excluding family, would be a garbage truck and a power truck. Those are the two most beautiful sights in the world. If you're ever parked behind a garbage truck and you're impatient and beeping, shame on you. Because after a storm, when that garbage truck rolls up and everything's going to start to get clean again, that's
perfect.
It's like they're sent from heaven.
Right.
And a power truck rolling up, oh my God, I can turn off the generators. I'm not doing all this stuff anymore. I'm not cooking over wood. Okay, I got my power back. I got my life back. So power trucks and garbage trucks should be right up there, at least with ambulances and fire trucks.
Yeah.
I mean, an ambulance, a fire truck, you know, a garbage truck, a power truck, these are godsends. When you need them, that's what you want to see come down the road. They're the best thing in the world. So, but I can't imagine the frustration level. Because I've evacuated and been out there going, oh my God, I can, you know, why am I sitting here? And unfortunately, my last experience, I was in like some roach motel. It was horrible. And, you know, and you're just sitting there. And you know, it's okay. You could be back. But 35-mile-an-hour winds, you cannot run power trucks.
Right.
You can't run a boom truck. So they can't fix anything yet, even though a lot of it's easily fixed.
Yeah, it'll clean up easy, but the waiting part is the hardest, most frustrating part.
My heart goes out to them. I mean, it's not as bad as having your house destroyed and losing all your stuff. You know, you can get back to it. But the sheer unbelievable frustration of it is just heart-wrenching, because I've been there, done that. And you want to know, because in the back of your mind, you're thinking, okay, am I that one in 100 house that had a tree fall on it?
Right.
Did, you know, somebody's boat fly up? You know, because there's all these weird little things that can go horribly wrong for you. And I'm a prime candidate for that. So you really want to go see for yourself, and you're stuck there. And it's maddening. I mean, one way is heartbreaking. The other one is literally will drive you insane.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, just sitting there, the anticipation of the unknown.
That's it, the anticipation factor. I mean, I can remember, you know, before I'd go around behind a building in school getting ready for a fist fight, you know, thinking, oh, boy, you're going to get hurt, you're going to get hurt. Then you get back there, and two punches, and the guy's down and out. You're like, okay, this is cool. All right, yeah. It's over.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
but no. The anticipation was worse than the actual event.
Absolutely. Almost always is.
So, we've got the anticipation of the area fishing report.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Fishing's pretty good.
You maybe. Sound so excited. So
always.
That's okay.
That's about normal.
I know. You're on that high level of excitement there.
If I go off kilter one of these days, everyone's going to look at me like I got three heads. So, this is exciting.
Right. Okay. Yes, sir. All right, as we get started here, I don't have my guitar. I got a good guitar. Oh, I'm going to get you next week. Okay. I'm bringing my guitar in.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Peace River System.
It's been actually kind of slow up there. The only thing I've been hearing about a little bit has been at Shell Creek from the trestle up to the dam itself. They've been getting a few small snook and a few juvenile tarpon rolling around. But mostly they're just staring at them. And they're catching them on shrimp and just trolling some rapalas and other little stick baits. Kind of throwing the whole gamut through there. A lot of water pumping over that dam. So, but other than that, up on the river itself, there's been a lot of gator hunters up there throughout the evenings and everything. I think that's what might be making it a little bit slower for any kind of feedback up there.
No, I don't think so. I don't think there's a lot of people gator hunting. I think there's a few.
No, but I mean, it always slows things down.
So I think it's just hot and fresh, and the river's running really fast. So as you get up around Horse Creek and that, it can get a bit tricky running a boat up there. Even up by the Navigator, I mean, the current's really running. So it's got a different feel to the boat that people in the harbor are not used to.
Okay.
And so it gets to be a little sketchy. The locals, my part of the report up here, lots of parties. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of partying on the river right now. I'd say for every person fishing, there's 100 people drinking.
Really?
Yeah, it's just party central. It's hot out, and the water's kind of nice up on the river, so everybody's up there partying, having a good time. A few people fishing. I'm not catching a lot of different fish, but the fish are there just for some reason or another. You know, they're not cooperating. But moving down around I-75, what's going on?
Just some juvenile tarpon around the bridge, both on the flat side on the north end and right around the bumps or bunk.
Bunks.
The bunks. Brain went.
Yeah, I know. You think your brain went that way? Mine's going. Bunk a bunk a bunk a bunk a bunk.
Right.
I don't know where that's coming from. It's like, really? All right. Anything else?
No, that's all I've heard of there, unfortunately.
And that's going to move us on. I don't understand this. Okay. 41. Bridges.
41's been a little quiet, but they've been picking up some small snook, some juvenile tarpon, and a lot of mangrove snapper. The mangrove snapper have been pretty impressive there, you know, 10 to 13 inches, which is better than normal, you know, a lot of little bait thieves in addition to it, but there's been a surprising amount of mangrove snapper there. Had a guy come in, he bought shrimp two or three different times that day. Him and his family were down there just messing around, fishing off the bridge, and then they went down behind the auditorium there and fishing off of that seawall and just having a good time.
I can say that area off the auditorium and the rocks over closer to Lashley Park, mm-hmm. really been producing a lot of snappers. Seeing, I mean, there's actually a lot of jewfish there as well. And it's surprising, actually, how many jewfish are along the seawall there.
Right. Just having fun bending a rod, which is always good if you got family in town or kids. And you don't have to travel very far, so if the weather turns bad, you can just say, okay, we're close to the car, let's go.
Yeah, actually, it works out really well, and there's some decent fish to catch, some nice rod benders, you know, keeper-sized mangrove snappers, so you have a good time there.
Yeah.
And that brings us over to Lashley Pier. I got nothing.
I've got nothing, too, except for a couple mangrove snapper. That was the only report the one guy gave me the other day. And he wasn't super impressed.
Okay,
Bayshore Pier. 50 yards makes a difference.
Well, one's open water almost, and one you got all that rock and structure and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Bayshore, I've got absolutely nothing. Unfortunately, nothing going on over there.
Yeah, I don't know why, but you're talking about 50 feet making a big difference. Well, this is more like a couple hundred yards. But literally that couple hundred yards between the old pier and that new one they put up,
yeah,
huge difference in the fishing. Monstrous difference.
Right.
Something about where that old pier was and the way, because I know there's a deeper pocket that's just to the left of it in the south side, and something just about where that pier was, a lot of fish go to it. That new pier, it's like, no. I don't know why, but it's just, it's like, 25% as good where it is as the old pier was.
Right.
And what's up with the roller coaster thing underneath the 41 bridge? I wonder if they're going to straighten that out, if they're going to leave all the bumps in it. The walkway there looks like a roller coaster. I mean, we got to go down and actually check this thing out.
Go down there and actually look at it.
You know, it is not. I guess it would be fun to walk over a roller coaster style walkway, boardwalk. They got some really nice little fishing areas out there. It's not going to be like so much as a fishing pier, but like little bump outs where you can go fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, maybe they're going to build a long pier off of the walkway yet. I mean, they're not that far with it. But just kind of weird altogether. I mean, but who knows, maybe they're going to straighten it all up and it's all going to be amazing. I'm not going to be like social media people. I'm going to resolve to say, hey, I will wait and see how it turns out. I really don't understand what they're doing, and so that means I guess I'm not qualified to make the decision yet.
Yeah.
I saw some pretty cool things and some weird things.
I'd still like to walk down there and actually see it up close and personal and see if it makes more sense than driving past it.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I don't know. The only thing that worries me is Charlotte County was involved in it. And if the... You go to Punta Gorda, they've got such beautiful landscaping and everything kind of makes sense. A lot of parking in the boat ramps. And then you come over into the Port Charlotte side and they put up really, I don't like the way they do their landscaping, personal preference. I think their landscaping is yuck. And the parking spaces are tiny. They put, you know, stuff in to make less parking for boat ramps and stuff than what we had before they started, and not only don't they look good, but now they're less parking. Right. So really fail when you come over to the Port Charlotte side. You go over to Punta Gorda and awesome. Why don't they just hire the people from Punta Gorda to do this? I mean, this is not a big stretch of imagination. They're right across the river. They might even live here. You know, hire those people to go do this side of the river, because their side looks great, our side looks like crap.
Right.
And it's not because they haven't thrown money at it. They've thrown millions of dollars badly.
Yes.
Badly. So, okay, fishing report, Port Charlotte Canals.
Port Charlotte Canals are doing all right. Mangrove snapper doing really pretty darn good. Been some black drum cruising through pretty regularly. A lot of juvenile snook around. And still a handful of redfish. I have not heard much for the juvenile tarpon. They should be around, but I haven't heard much at all. You know, Spring Lake should be ate up with them. East and West Spring Lake, you would think would both have them, but I just haven't heard anything about it.
Usually they're not as full this time of year. Usually when the water's flowing and we get all the fresh water, they're out feeding and going to different places. I mean, I've seen them all over, but they're not in their kind of wintertime haunts. But right. This would be the time where I wouldn't expect them to be there in the Port Charlotte canals. I expect them to be out roaming up the rivers, you know, going up Shell Creek, up by the dam up there, because the dam's really flowing. And so I would expect them to be a lot of places, but not there. Up by the spillways, all that. But
right.
As soon as the rain's back off and the water stops flowing as much and things chill out a little bit, I think they'll just boil back in there and be full. But I could be wrong.
No, I can see that without a doubt.
But I just vague memory of over time not seeing a lot of them there this time of year because of the water flows and stuff. Elgin Bean Pier, though, there is some good news there or no?
Good news, but just not a lot of busy news. They've been getting some mangrove snapper. I mean, that's going to be definitely the theme today because I'm hearing so much from everybody on that. Some black drum, juvenile tarpon around the actual bridges themselves. And been a lot of small trout being caught off of there also. Nobody's talking about any keeper sized trout, but they're actually catching some trout off of there in mentionable numbers. Other than that, it's been a little quiet. You know, with the snook closure, you usually get a lot more feedback on all the other extras that come along with the snook as bycatch. But it's kind of hurting the report.
Yeah, it's kind of hurting everything. With snook and redfish being closed, just talking to some of the people, house sales way down, 30-40% less houses being sold now than there was, you know, last year. Even the guys in the body shops are hurting. It never occurred to me how reliant the body shops and the repair shops here are on the tourist and snowbird trade. Because if you go to New Jersey, everybody's going 120 miles an hour. Same thing in Chicago. Go to Chicago, I'm doing 85 on an interstate, and the cars are going by me like I'm standing still. It's just scary they go around so fast. But they're all doing the exact same thing. If I go out to a rural area in the middle of nowhere, everybody's driving 30, 40 miles an hour. They're all driving slow around, just taking their time. And now you come into Port Charlotte, where you've got people driving 25, 35 miles an hour, and then you get people driving 50, 60, 80 miles an hour, and it doesn't mix.
No.
That's the weird part about here is, you know, there's no fluidity to the traffic patterns because some people are from Illinois, some people are from Jersey, everybody's from somewhere else. Yeah, they have different styles of driving. Some people are older. You got somebody driving, you know, 35 mile an hour along 41. And then you get a young person comes up behind him, gets mad, tries to do 80 miles an hour around them, and who caused the accident? You know what I mean? Was it the guy going 10 miles an hour under the speed limit, or was the guy going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit? Which one was the cause? But even the body shops are slow. 50, 60% less business. Unbelievable what social media and network news has done to Southwest Florida.
Oh my gosh.
And yes. When they close the snook and redfish, it just put the nail in the coffin for a lot of people. Restaurants are laying off people, and there's nothing wrong here. The water's fine, but if you post that on social media, they call you a Nazi.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
You know, you say there's no red tide in Charlotte Harbor. There hasn't been all year. The water's fine. The fish are there. It's good. Everybody's having a good time. It goes out. And you're called a Nazi because you're not following their narrative. You know, if you don't do and say what they do and say, you're a horrible, you know, it doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. You're just a horrible person who doesn't deserve to live because you're not following the trend on social media.
Right.
And the trend is everything's bad. And it's really not true. Elgin Bean, we've got that. Let's go into the Mayak River area. I will shut up about that. I can't believe I talked so much about that. All right, sorry. I apologize.
It's all good. The Mayak River, honestly, the only thing I've heard about has been over by Hog Island on the north end of the cutoff. And right at the mouth of Tippy Canoe, there's been some redfish popping up over there, a few snook, a lot of smaller mangrove snapper over in there, and then I've heard of some like small black drum, you know, in the 15-pound range that a couple guys have gotten into over there. But overall, a little on the slower side. Haven't heard of any pompano in quite some time over there, which is a little strange because that seems to go in spurts all through August and September, and I think it's been 4 or 5 weeks since I've heard anything good over there with that.
Yeah, I'm so...
it's a little kind of off.
Well, I think a lot of it's just the lack of people going out fishing.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, right now, if you're anywhere around Southwest Florida and you can get down here on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or a Thursday, get out first thing in the morning, it's paradise. With all the bad publicity, you can go out there and not see a boat. You can have a school of redfish to yourself.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's awesome. And it's the only good thing about all these social media idiots and all these charter boat captain goofball wannabe environmentalists that really, I don't know how people who do such bad things can claim to be so good. But all these, you know, weirdos talking about this have literally created one awesome effect. There's nobody there.
Yeah.
There's fish. It's quiet. You can have a great time. Weekends are still, there's a few people out and about. Yeah, not a lot, but there's still a few.
Yeah.
But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I mean, my God, it's paradise now. So if you're up there thinking, okay, I want to, you know, let's say you're in Wachula listening to the show or over on the East Coast and you're looking for paradise and you got a couple of days off during the week, zip over, catch some redfish. I mean, there's quite a few other fish to be caught and there's nobody here. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, for as far as being out in the water, for as far as a businessman standpoint, sucks on a stick, but this is when you really want to go.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, South Gulf Cove.
A lot of tilapia and Mayan cichlids.
That's all right, spell tilapia.
T-I-L-A-P-I-A.
Okay, tilapia and M-Y-A Mayans. All right.
That's it. We're catching them on worms. Okay. They're really doing well on worms over there, actually. And good-sized tilapia, like... Three pounders.
We're kind of lucky. We're the closest place that actually sells worms and night crawlers and shiners. And I wish I was making more than, I think we make like 75 cents or something like that on them.
Yeah, not much.
So I wish I'd make more money on them because we're selling a lot of them. Okay, yeah, it would be great to be able to make a little more money. It just wouldn't be fair. I don't think a cup of worms is worth more than we charge for them. So. But that would be fun to have. I would like, yeah, I'd like to be making $2 a cup. I could do well at $2 a cup.
Right.
Pay some bills. Not really. It's not going to make a ding bit of difference. Not with the bills we have. All right. Going over to the West Wall. You guys did West Wall on the radio show today about as the spot. I only got to hear a little bit of it.
Yeah. It was all right. I mean, the only thing I like about the West Wall is it's a great learning tool for people because it's so straight and easy. You don't have to worry about going around curves or little islands and figuring that stuff out. You just go straight and figure out the bushes and look for the water flow and little creeks and then the big creeks.
And if you've never been there and you're going to the West Wall, you're driving along, you're going to see 6 feet of water start slowing down. By the time you hit 4 feet of water, you want that boat at idle speed because there's a very shallow sandbar in front of you. You have a sandbar, some flats area, and then you have the trees along the west wall, the mangroves.
Correct.
But to get there, a lot of times you're going over like 6-8 inches of water or less. And to do it prudently and safely, you want to do it as a very slow idle. When you learn what you're doing and you know where you are and you know the water and how deep it may or may not be, you can, you know, power slide over it. A lot of us hit it at like 40 miles an hour and just slide across to the other side and go on again. But if you do that and you don't know what you're doing, you're going to get hurt. You're going to hang the boat up. You're going to be there a long time because...
A lot of times you're too far away for them to get a tow rope to pull you off. Yeah,
it can get really, really bad. But if you do it at idle, you literally get to see the sandbar, watch where the water comes up, see the stuff, possibly see trout, pompano, all kinds of stuff on the bar itself. You get across the other side, and then you idle across the flat. It's not far. It's a couple hundred yards. And then you've got the mangroves to fish and all this cool stuff to happen.
Absolutely.
But awesome place. any what kind of fish are on there? Not me guessing.
A lot of redfish over there right now. The guys are doing very well on redfish. Crabs, shrimp, cut ladyfish and mullet are working very well, and so are pinfish, live and cut. And then the guys who are throwing artificials, believe it or not, are doing really good on spoons. You know, spoons are working exceptionally good over there, but most everybody's throwing soft plastics with a lot of scent and working them super slow. That's the most productive way. A lot of trout been out there on the flats, but most of them are small. You're working all day long for one or two legal size fish. I haven't heard much for snook over there. I'm sure they are, but the guys are just counting their redfish instead of their snook. And I think it's been so long since I've seen nicer redfish. I think they're more excited about that than the snook because they're just easy, fun bycatch.
Yeah, and what's really weird is you and I were talking to the guys from the state, and what we found out was that according to their census populations, we have not had a dramatic drop in redfish populations. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
Okay, so... And yet, for the last few years, you and I have been talking about a hole in the space-time continuum.
Mm-hmm.
Where, during the winter months, we're not seeing a lot of the redfish that we normally would see. They're just not there.
Right.
In any of the usual places. You know, the person who's going to make a lot of money is the guy who figures out where those fish are going.
Because they've definitely changed their habits, without a doubt.
According to you, according to me, according to the scientist, there's a lot of redfish out there.
Yeah.
And what they've done is change where they're hanging out.
Mm-hmm. And it's no longer in an easy spot, obviously.
Well, it's no longer in the usual suspects, the familiar place. Okay, this is where the bad guys hang out. Let's go, you know, raid that joint. No, the speakeasy's not in that spot anymore. It's down the street. And this is the same thing with the redfish. So if there is a captain, now I think Carl does pretty well with finding where the redfish are when they're not supposed to be there.
Right.
And there's probably one or two other captains. I would say right now 90-95% of the captains suck.
Yeah.
Because they can't find redfish because they go... They have that insanity rule. They keep going to the same places every day looking for redfish that aren't there. And every day they go do the same thing. And all they can do is complain about it. And isn't that the insanity thing, doing the same thing every day, expecting a different result?
Yep.
I would say that's 95% of the inshore charter boat captains right now. There are a few, but they're rare. Most of them, and you can tell who they are, and they're the ones saying how bad everything is, how things suck. So don't hire them because A, they're going to be grumpy, they're not catching fish, and who wants to go out with a miserable captain? Hire somebody who's very positive, putting out good fishing reports, and that he's catching a lot of fish and having a good time. You want a captain who's having a good time. You don't want one that hates the world because he's not catching fish. And, oh, yeah, because he's not catching fish, A, you're not going to have a good time.
Right.
So, good rule of thumb when thinking about charter boat captains right now.
Absolutely.
And thinking about Cape Hayes and Muddy Bay.
Cape Hayes has been some small trout. There's been a few pompano being reported off of there. Guy got into some really good mangrove snapper there. And then the ladyfish have been mixed in throughout that whole flat there. And as you get up closer to the shoreline there by Muddy Bay, there's been redfish in Muddy Bay along with some snook, both in the bay and just at the front entrance there where it gets that little deep trough with everybody running. And they're catching them all on shrimp, pinfish, and crabs for the most part. Other guys throwing artificials and just throwing the gulp. 3-inch shrimp or the DOA cow tails, the shad tails. I'm doing fairly well on those. So it's not too bad down there.
I got a hold of Ray Smith today.
Did you?
He's actually in Georgia deer hunting.
Ah.
You know, which is awesome. He's doing his archery stuff. He says it's still like 5 o'clock in the morning. It's 72 degrees and climbing. I said, isn't it storm up there, you know? And by the way, I didn't say it at the beginning, but I'm going to say it now. My heart goes out to everybody, and I hope everybody's well, and I hope their house is not flooded, and them and their family are safe, because we know what it's like here. and we're feeling for you guys. Anything we can do, call Fish and Franks. We'll help if we can. All right. Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, Gallagher's. But I got a hold of Ray Smith, and he's going to help us with our new seminar area.
Oh, there you go.
Well, nobody knows how to work outside like Ray Smith. I mean, he's like the king of dirt and rock and everything else. I mean, you know, you got the king of concrete, Don Riggs, and then you've got the king of dirt, you know, Ray Smith. So he's going to come by this week and going to help us design that whole seminar area and get all that worked out. So
Nice. We've
got a big new seminar area coming, a big rod and reel room. We've got all kinds of cool stuff coming. Really a lot of fun stuff.
Should be.
So, but yeah, I was really excited to get Ray to say, yeah, I'll come down and help you out. So hopefully he gets interested, because if Ray gets into it, we'll get some really good prices and some really good stuff. And, you know, it'll look really cool.
Nice.
All right. Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, Gallagher's Cut.
A lot of redfish and snook throughout the whole area inside of Bull and Turtle. Under the bushes, anywhere you got a little bit of moving water seems to be more productive. The trout have been out on the flats a little bit, but most of them are small. Some guys are catching some ladyfish and an occasional bluefish mixed in the bag there, and he either bites you off or you land him. You know, and it's been not too bad. There's also been a lot of snapper underneath all the shacks in there, along with up under the bushes. So it's pretty decent. Actually, I had a guy catch a 21-inch gag in Turtle Bay on the flats. He was drifting along blind casting and got a 21-inch gag. He was pleasantly surprised by that. At first, he thought it was a baby Jewfish, and then he realized what it was. So it was kind of cool.
Was that Bull Bay or Turtle?
In Turtle. I'm used to hearing them in Bull sometimes, but just out on the flat in Turtle is a little out of character.
What's really weird about this, if you guys go on and look at the maps of this, you know, click the names up above here, it shows you maps of the stuff. And you'll see that Bull Bay is a little more towards it's the first one towards the Gulf, and then Turtle Bay is a little closer into the harbor. The craziest thing about this year was there was so much fresh water coming down the Peace River, the Mack River, and all this other stuff, that the red tide was quite commonly going into Bull Bay.
Mm-hmm.
But it couldn't push enough fresh water out to get into Turtle Bay.
Right.
There was literally a dividing line. The fish in Turtle Bay were fine. The stuff in Bull Bay had the red tide. But Turtle Bay only had like one time where it had any red tide in it this year. The rest of the time it was clear. But as soon as you crossed the boundary into Bull Bay, you were choking and there was red tide there. But that's how fine the dividing line can be. Literally, they're next to each other. It's like one island, an island that's 50 feet wide, and one side's Bull Bay and the other side is Turtle Bay. And in the cuts between them, the red tide salt water filled, you know, the salt water with red tide in it could not displace enough fresh water to get into Turtle Bay. So
it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, Turtle Bay did not lose fish at all this year. That's kind of why I get so discouraged with a lot of these other things. But anyway, true and weird fact of this year and how close the dividing lines could be. It's really cool. I mean, I know it sounds boring when I say it, but if you start thinking about looking on the maps, you're going to get this. Wow, that is cool.
It's bizarre.
Bizarre.
Catches you off.
Mm-hmm. Cape Hayes, Danger Reef.
I got nothing at either one of them.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Gasparilla Sound. And I am going to build this page with the maps, and all I've got now for Gasparilla Sound Tailing Flats is a link to Google Earth to give you an idea where it is. I am building the page. I'm going to try and work on it more today. I've got a couple things done. I don't have it loaded yet, but you'll see it. I will have a thing right above this on the page to show you where Boca Bayou is 1, 2, and 3, because I think there's like 3 places they call the bayou.
Yeah.
I know at least 2, but I think there's 3. So getting a lot of requests for that, but the tricky part is it's not what I know what it is. Everything I put up, I know what they are. I've been there, done that, looked at it, and I know the proper name, or at least the name I gave them, because is in some instances, there's three rocky creeks here, according to the locals. That's nuts. There's two alligator creeks here. That's stupid.
There's six bird crap islands.
Yes, there's six bird crap islands. There's all these other things. So what we're doing is literally defining a name. I usually tell what the local name might be and then give it a permanent name so that everything has its own name and its own identity.
That's the way it should be.
So, and I'm not using Frank's Creek or anything like that. The only time I ever did that was on one spot. That was my dad, because my dad used to go there and catch cobia and pompano and all that stuff. That's out in front of my cutoff. And nobody wanted to do it because they thought it was me. I said, this is not me. It's about my dad. You know,
right.
I've never named anything after myself. All right. Gaspar Sound Tailing Flats.
A lot of redfish through there, all along the bushes, along with quite a few snook. Ladyfish, some bluefish, an occasional Spanish mackerel as you move out a little bit onto the more open flats area. I've had a couple reports of some small juvenile tarpon over there by Whidden Creek and Catfish Creek, kind of closer towards the shoreline. You know, nobody was hooking them, but they were seeing them rolling around, blooping around.
Well, I think the reason they weren't seeing them or hooking them is because they're tarpon, so you throw these giant lures at them. Throw a crappie jig at them. Watch them gulp it up.
Right, exactly.
Throw something no more than 2.5 inches long at them.
Do something fun size.
Yeah, well, you got to go down. And we've hypothesis that you and I have talked about is that they grow up eating insect larvae.
Mm-hmm.
Not insects, boys and girls. Tarpon grew up eating insect larvae. So that's a lot smaller than an insect. That's the baby insects.
Yeah.
So if you're used to eating insect larvae, and then all of a sudden somebody's throwing a 6-inch lure at you, it's really not what you're thinking about.
Right.
Even though, you know, you're 3 feet long or 2 feet long, you're still eating bugs and tiny minnows, because that's a big upgrade from an insect larvae.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing we can think of to make understand why they won't eat tarpon lures. They eat, like, trout stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
Right. Let's go down to the next bit here. Placida Pier.
Placida Pier, well, it's back open. It's been enjoyable for a handful of people have been really enjoying it. Lots of big mangrove snapper, some Spanish mackerel, occasional bluefish. There's been a couple of bonnethead sharks been caught off of there. And the occasional redfish. You know, it's been pretty darn good. And of course, mangrove snapper galore. I mean, pay attention to those with their. There's quite a few of them. Good size fish. And from what I hear, they did a pretty nice job fixing it all back up.
Cool. Okay, I take back half of one, I said.
Well, I haven't personally witnessed it, so it's hard to say.
I will say they've been doing a lot better with the piers.
Yeah.
And I think it was a handicap guy. One of our guys that comes in, goes out in a wheelchair.
Oh, yeah.
And they were saying, no, we got to do it this way, we got to do it that way. He says, hey, wait a minute. I can't fish in this pier anymore. It was when they redid Bayshore Pier one of the many times. And they literally made it so if you were in a wheelchair, you could not fish there at all.
Right.
It was horrible. And they were saying this is the way it had to be because this is the way it always was. Well, me, you know, the guy in the wheelchair, everybody else who had ever been there was telling him, no, this sucks. This is wrong. And I think they got the hint when the guy in the wheelchair went up there and said, no, you cannot make the piers this way. And I think they panicked because all he would have had to do to get he could have lived the rest of his life on that lawsuit because there's pictures of him fishing it before.
Right.
You know, sitting in a wheelchair and with his rod over his side and catching fish. And then they did it and said, no, it's exactly the way it was before, and yet he couldn't fish because it was over his head.
Right.
It just wasn't fair. It wasn't right. It was just political garbage. They screwed up and didn't want to admit it. So they admitted it when he went up there. I like that one.
Yeah.
So, and the good thing was he was a good guy. He wasn't trying to sue anybody. He just wanted to be able to fish.
Just wanted to be a part of society and have a good time.
You know, he wasn't asking for special parking or anything. All he wanted to do is when he got on the pier, he wanted to be able to fish like he always had. And they screwed it up and They're really lucky he didn't go after him, because he's just a really nice guy.
Yeah.
All right, Lemon Bay, what's going on up there?
Lemon Bay had a little patch of red tide come through there on Monday. So my last report, honestly, was from Sunday. And they've been getting a few trout. Some redfish are starting to school up inside there. And they're starting to see a few more snook moving around. But I haven't heard a whole lot. Relatively fresh, unfortunately.
Okay.
The water's starting to get a little cleaner. You know, that much I did hear right there around the ski alley and the mainland side by the old Stump Pass Marina.
Right. How about the pier? Heard anything?
They're catching juvenile tarpon at night mostly. And then during the daytime, been a lot of snapper, ladyfish, occasional bluefish, occasional Spanish mackerel. You know, nothing super exciting, but enough variety of species to bend the rod and have a good time.
Okay. And it just goes to show, once again, we were talking about bull bait, turtle bait, how you can have red tide in bull bait, but not in turtle bait. And the same thing goes with places like Lemon Bay. You can literally have red tide on one side of the intercoastal and not the other.
Right, absolutely.
You can have it, you know, a quarter mile north of you or 100 yards north of you, but not where you are. Or the opposite way, it can be where you are and not 100 feet away. It's a very strange thing, and it's very difficult to track, difficult to follow, but it doesn't all encompass, all end, you know. So anyway, over this one, I've got Mattis Motors there. He's awesome. Really good guy. If you're looking for a truck or a trailer or car or something like that, you know, I always give him a call when I'm looking for stuff. He either has or he doesn't, but if he's got it, it's usually a good deal. And I think good deal is the wrong word. I'm sure the deal is going to be okay, but I actually more trust the stuff he has. Yeah. He's way more honest and he just does a good job out there.
Makes you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
I like talking to him, dealing with him.
Yeah, and he loves to fish. You know, if you're looking for a vehicle or even an enclosed trailer or some other kind of trailer or something, he's got a lot of that stuff. Just go out and sit and chat with him for a while. You're going to like this guy. He loves to talk fishing. He loves to talk about cars and trailers and all that kind of stuff. So go out and give him a shot. All right. Just threw that up there because he was in the other day and I thought, man, you know, I should put him back up there. You don't find many guys in places in the car industry anymore that you really like.
Or trust.
Trust. I guess I find a lot of those I like, but I really don't trust them that much.
Right.
But with him, it's kind of both.
Yeah.
So anyway, what were you saying?
That's kind of like a mechanic. You know, we got Jim.
You know, a lot of people don't like him. We all like him. I trust him with my life, literally, because when I'm going on a road trip or whatever, you know, he goes through everything.
I trust him with my car, 100%.
Yeah, I don't have any issues, but it's just funny how you can't really recommend people because one person goes there and they don't like him. You know, I have no idea how all this works. How can it work so well for one? But I've found that too. When I go into places people tell me are awesome, I go in there and it's not a good experience.
Right.
Maybe they just don't like me, or personalities don't mix, or I just had bad timing. Red tide was there, right. You know, and they had blue-green algae in the parking lot, and nothing was going to work. Who knows? All right, reefs and wrecks, Gulf of Mexico.
Doing pretty good once you get past 10 miles. 10 miles is kind of that magic number, because there are still some little patches of red tide inside of 10 miles, or at least be prepared to move. Big mangrove snapper, lots of really big lane snapper, some porgies, barracudas. Those are all like in that 10 to 20 mile range. And then also, well, sorry, I forgot a permit. I'm still getting some feedback on permit here and there. Not a lot of people out there fishing for them, but people are seeing them.
All right, and just hang on a second while I run a spell check on this sucker here. I've gotten it wrong every other day. All right. Barracudas. I don't know why, but I've been trying to spell barracudas. and it was the Daz that was getting me.
Gotcha.
D-A-S. Okay. All right. So permits. Yep. How group are going in?
Not really. Okay. I mean, guys that are getting into them are at 35 and 40 miles out.
Amberjack?
Amberjack are in that 25 to 35 mile mark. The Mohawk. The Bayeronto had some on them yesterday. Peg Leg was out there fishing with them with Chuck. They got into them on the Bayeronto, so that's what, 26, 28 miles out? Something like that.
Yep.
You know, so they got into a few.
Just if you're wondering, go to the Fishing Report page, click the Reefs and Wrecks, and I actually have the Bayeronto and how far out it is from the different passes and stuff. I couldn't believe somebody was saying that. Well, all you do is Boca Grande Pass. I'm like, really? I spend all that time getting stuff and figuring, you know, getting time and distance marks from Stump Pass and Redfish and Captiva and Boca and Gasparilla. And it's not on all of them because the primary pass we use is Boca Grande.
Sure.
But, you know, extrapolate a little bit and say, okay, well, I'm about 5 miles south of that, so it's going to add another 5 miles to it.
Yeah.
It's not hard to figure out. If I have to do every one.
Yeah, you got to hold them by their hand and help them across the street. They don't know how to do it.
Oh, God. All right. Anyway, any king mackerel room?
Nothing. I have not heard of much for pelagics at all out there this week.
Yeah, the only, you know, if you're going to get out, you want to try for the mahi, the sailfish, and all the rest of that stuff. You really, right now, almost out 50 miles. So, I'm not going to put it on here because it is 50 miles out.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah, that loop current kind of comes in and goes out. All right, here's the tricky one. Venice.
There was some red tide there as of Monday. And I haven't heard a single thing since then.
Okay. Stump.
Stump Pass has been clean the last several days.
Any fish there?
Some snook. Lots of bait fish starting to kind of show up a little bit in there. And there's been a couple guys at their first light that caught a couple of redfish there this week. They were right out there right as the ranger opened up Stump Pass, and they walked out to the pass itself and got into a couple of redfish that were oversized.
Okay. Gasparilla?
I got nothing, unfortunately.
Boca?
Boca's been some snook. Lots of, well, not lots, but good numbers of big redfish, especially first thing in the morning and right in the evening. And they're starting to see a lot more bait coming through there. And then guys have been catching some mangrove snapper that are drifting through the center of the pass. Nobody's been specific with the depth, but if they follow their normal routine, I'm going to say that 30 to 35 feet of water on the south side of the pass is probably going to be more than likely where they're at. Just from years past, but they'll probably prove me wrong on that.
Okay.
But at least it's a rough idea. Haven't heard of the Spanish in there, even though I've been getting miscellaneous reports here and there, but nothing on them at all through the passes. It's kind of strange.
What's going on in Captiva?
Captiva's about the same thing as Boca. They're getting some mangrove snapper, a few redfish, and a few snook. You know, overall, a little quiet, but not bad at all. And I haven't heard of any red tide from Captiva north of there, so that's a very good thing.
Okay. Was there any redfish there at Captiva? I was trying to type.
Yeah, the redfish and the snook and the mangrove snapper all been pretty consistent. No Spanish, no bluefish, no shark. I haven't heard any of that good stuff.
Have we heard of any shark activity? My kid's coming down next Friday.
I know.
I gotta find sharks this week. If anybody out there finds some sharks this week, my son's coming down and with a couple of his buddies, and their whole thing is to catch shark. Even tarpon would do. But
if the weather's nice, you should be able to get into some sharks and some jewfish out there at some of those near shore reefs out there, like School Bus Reef would be a good one. Yeah. Peg Leg said he ran into some 5-footers. They were trying to eat all their snapper that they were catching out there at the Bayeronto.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, this time of year, if it wasn't for the intervening red tides along the coast, I would know right where to go and how to catch the sharks. We still have a lot of them.
Yeah, we should still have lemons around and some big black tips. Just haven't been hearing much.
And this has just been such a weird year. I really would have no idea where I would go in close to try and get those big sharks. But I'm going to probably do a little, make a run out this week and do a little practice chum up and see if I can, what I can get going.
There you go. That might not be a bad
idea.
Well,
you know, I don't want to look like a complete idiot in front of my son and his friends, you know.
Eh, you'll be just fine.
And what's the chance that I'm not going to look like an idiot? Pretty much guaranteed. So, anyway, walk along the beaches. Anywhere along any beaches doing okay?
Honestly, Boca's the only one I've heard about this week. You know, the guys are walking the beach, fishing down at that old broken down pier, catching a few little snook, a few bigger oversized redfish, seeing a lot of bait fish around, a couple of jacks here and there. And that's about it, unfortunately. Hasn't been super duper gangbusters, but Boca definitely would be my choice if I was going to go out and give it a shot. And if you run into red tide at that particular stretch of beach, like you were saying earlier, go down.
I really don't think there is any on Boca right now, is there?
A little bit came through Gasparilla last Monday afternoon, according to Danny.
Oh, okay.
But he said it was a real light patch, but it did blow through. So that's about the only report I've heard of that over there.
Yeah, it's
but
just
it was minor.
Yeah, can't. No idea what's feeding this, why it keeps popping up and going down and popping up and going down. Right. You know, it's kind of funny. We're looking at these red tides at Gasparilla Pass and Venice and Stump Pass and all that. But the one thing, I cannot tell you what's actually causing the red tides. But I can tell you the only thing I'm positive, absolutely certain, that is not causing all these red tides, the Caloosahatchee River.
Right.
It's too far south.
Way too far.
So, you know, when you read all this stuff on social media, maybe some people ought to look at how the loop currents work, how the water runs, where it moves to, what it does, where it goes, and not use the alien transportation theory that alien spaceships have come and grabbed the red tide from the Caloosahatchee and dumped it up north in the Gulf of Mexico. All right, Ponderosa and Sanibel Island.
I've got nothing at all down there.
Okay. Moving down to the Caloosahatchee River. And anything you've heard of, Ben?
Nope.
Okay. Vinny and Rick from the Fort Myers store, Fish and Franks 2 and the Ingman Marine Boat Dealership. The Franklin Locks have some great snook fishing day or night. You can go down there by the Franklin Locks and really do well. The Broadway Street Bridge has a lot of activity this week for shore fishermen. They're really having a lot of fun down there. Large snook, juvenile tarpon reported in upriver spillways, docks, and bridges. So things are happening on the Caloosahatchee, and we're actually getting reports. All right.
That's a good thing.
Yep. So
nice little change.
Cape Coral. Anything going around Cape Coral?
Mayan cichlids.
Okay.
A lot of guys talking about some of their Mayan cichlids they've been catching there. The one guy was fishing down just past Burnt Store and Pine Island Road in one of those canals. Kind of, he said it was just past Pine Island Road off of Burnt Store. And he was getting into it.
Hang on, sorry.
Cape Coral Canal.
Okay, Mayan cichlids in the Cape Coral Canal. The wife called. My buddy the plumber went out to fix my shower faucet thing, and when he turned the water on, my pressure tank, you know, when your water comes into your house, they have like a bladder tank so mm-hmm. that you kind of keep instant or continuous pressure.
Yeah.
Blew the whole top out of it.
Nice.
So he went to get a bladder tank, and I said, well, scaffolding's there, bladders are all there, you know, I'll be home as soon as I can, you know, help you out with it. All right. But in Cape Coral Canals, that's why we had to put show on pause, come back, came back and didn't know where we were. Alright, Southwest Florida RV sales, there's a thing up there. Nice folks, when we had to have our house tented by termites, the reason this came up is the guy was really helpful, really nice. He gave us a really pretty trailer. You saw it, Robert.
Yeah, it was really nice.
I mean, really nice trailer to stay in while they were tenting the house. We were put it right in the yard. And you really don't have to do much. I mean, they pump them out for you, you know, because, you know, you got the bathroom and everything, shower and all that in there. They were just awesome people to deal with. And yes. You can't really hey, I tried letting people pay to get on my website, and it sucked because people I didn't like wanted to advertise on there.
Right.
So, no, you can't buy your way onto the fishing report. I like you. We do good business together, friends kind of things. I will put you up here, but you cannot pay to be on here. Isn't that stupid? I could be making money with this. But
it shows your character.
Yeah, I'm stupid. Basic character flaw. All right. Anyway, that's why that Southwest Florida got
that's
up
a,
there.
It's a double-edged sword.
They're not
pro and con.
I just letting people know, like with Mattis Motors and anything you see on here, they are not paying to be there. They are just friends of mine who I've done business with and nice folks. And they're not all the people I do business with. But, you know, sometimes you forget about this one or that one. And, you know, remind me, call me, and I'll be happy to add you in somewhere. Or not. But anyway, Mayan cichlids and tilapia off Burnstour Road, by the spillways.
Past the spillways. He was fishing just on the other side of Pine Island Road in one of those canal systems. He didn't specify exactly where, but he was doing really good catching quite a few of them. And I would imagine those spillways are catching them too.
Okay, Vinny and Rick from the Fort Myer store, Fort Fish and Franks 2 in the Ingmarine Boat Dealership. A lot of bass being caught in the Cape Coral Canal system, the freshwater areas. Bass on soft plastics, and they're actually doing really well down there. So, keeping in mind, folks, you would have saltwater canals, which are connected to the Caloosahatchee River, which may or may not have something wrong with them. Not every canal in Cape Coral has blue-green algae in it. In fact, most do not. But some do. And you pretty much notice them because they have a lot of green lawns around the ones that do. So, who knows? May not have anything to do with each other. All right, Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey, I've got nothing. Nothing this week at all, unfortunately.
All right, Vinny and Rick from the Fish and Franks in Fort Myer store. Redfish being caught south of the Indian Fields. Snook being actually caught from the bridge there at Matt Lachey. And the best activity is at night up around Two Pines. Snook and redfish doing well at Two Pines. Basically, it's pretty close to dark or dark in the morning. But it's the cooler times of the day, so it kind of makes sense. Snook and trout along the east wall of the channel and small islands going from Matt Lachey north up towards Charlotte Harbor. And one of the tricks is you got to get up close to the islands, get as far as you can under the mangroves. So fishing down there around Matt Lachey, very good right now. And I'm going to throw in a plug for some of the restaurants and all that out on Boquilla, St. James City. Get out there and enjoy some of the people and the restaurants on Pine Island. They've been hit real hard by the rumors of red tide, which Matt Lachey has had no red tide, none, has no blue-green algae, none. And yet, they're suffering because of the social media hysteria. So, you know, go to Matt Lachey, enjoy some of the restaurants and the shops and, you know, the people, do a little fishing or just do, Matt Lachey's a quaint little place and, you know, get on Pine Island, go north up to Boquilla. They got a great little restaurant up there, serves an often awesome seared tuna down in St. James City. They got some cool places. All right, Pine Island Sound.
Pine Island Sound, from Yuseppa down to the Captiva Rocks.
Right.
Been redfish up along the bushes with some snook out on the open flats. They've been getting a couple of trout, some Spanish mackerel, and an occasional bluefish mixed in there with them. And that's about it. Well, now the mangrove snapper too. Been hearing a lot about them also. Most of those I haven't heard of any bigger ones. Most of those have been just, you know, the small typical 8 to 11 inchers. A lot of bait thieves. The bait fish is starting to move up a little bit down there. It's all small stuff, not worth catching or trying to harass, but at least we're seeing the life coming back to that area, which is a really, really nice change.
Yep, pretty awesome if you ask me. Okay. And Jug Creek Shows, Boquilla.
I've got nothing over there.
All right. Vinny and Rick. Come on. There we go. Vinny and Rick from the North Fort Myer store. Lots of small trout outside Jug Creek, east in Matt Lachey Pass. Small snook with some oversized redfish tight to the mangroves there around the Jug Creek, Boquilla area. So you had a lot of big redfish there, a lot of small snook.
Nice.
Yeah, it's nice when they're actually helping out with this now. I like it.
Right. It's good to have good little reports for there.
Yep. Burnt store two prunes. Well, as we heard, a lot of snook.
A lot of snook and redfish. Yeah, definitely. And a lot of small trout also out there. There has been some tarpon kind of in that triangle, I'm going to say, between Boquilla, Burnt Store, and Cape Hayes. I don't know what you would call that. Like, basically between Marker 6 and Marker 4.
Right.
You know, so there has been some tarpon out there, so it's worth keeping a vigilant eye out there to look for either some birds or some rolling fish if you're into trying to get something else.
Okay. Moving on. Let's see, the east side, what's going on the east side?
From the north island of Burnt Store up to Pirate Harbor, there's been a small school of redfish that people have been trying to get into. There's about 50 to 75 fish in it. They're just kind of ping-ponging back and forth through there. So if you're one of the first lucky ones of the morning, you might get into them. Been hearing of some juvenile tarpon there between Hobbs Point and inside Pirate Harbor. And then quite a few mangrove snapper and a few redfish around all those islands, both north and south of Pirate Harbor, basically behind Hobbs Point. It's been not too bad of fishing over there. A lot of ladyfish and small fry slash bait fish out on the flats there out in front of Pirate Harbor too.
Okay. And Alligator Creek.
Alligator Creek, right at the mouth of Alligator Creek's been some redfish, quite a few redfish actually, both on the skating rink and just south of Alligator Creek, and going into the creek, been a few jacks, some redfish, lots of mangrove snapper, and some small snook. It's been pretty.
What did you say we're going in the creek? I was typing here.
Going into the creek, you got the jacks, the redfish, some small snook. It's been decent in there. You know, mostly towards the first half a mile going into it. I haven't heard a lot way up inside, except for once you get way back into Burnt Store aisles. Been some black drum and juvenile tarpon in there. So, it's pretty decent.
Alright.
Be crabs, ladyfish, pinfish.
Alright, Vinny and Rick from the Fort Myers store in Amon Rainbow dealership down in North Fort Myers. They say there's a pompano deer near the mouth of Alligator Creek.
Okay.
So they've got some nice reports of pompano down there. Alright, going on to Ponce de Leon Park.
Ponce has had some black drum, quite a few mangrove snapper, a few small snook. Haven't heard of any big snook in the last week. And then I've heard of one nice redfish being caught there. The guy caught one that was about 32 inches. He was pretty excited about that because he was the only one that he saw catch a fish in that hour that he was there. So he was happy. Then there should be some juvenile tarpon cruising through there because they've been up just inside right at the houses starting. So it wouldn't surprise me if you're seeing a few juvies cruising through there here and there. Just haven't heard of anyone hooking any of them.
Takes us down to the PGI canals.
PGI canals, the mouths of all the canals have got a lot of black drum, some bigger snook if you're willing to go out at night, and then a lot of juvenile tarpon and mangrove snapper up inside the canal systems along with some of the bigger black drum. You know, and of course the big black drum being caught on blue crabs being the primary bait, or those bigger frozen shrimp have been working exceptionally good. And they're catching those nice mangrove snappers bycatch with those bigger shrimp too. So it's not been bad at all. I did get a report of some jacks too, also some like 8 to 12 pounders, Barry. He's been running into them fairly regularly off of his dock and fishing with Richie. They've been getting into some in the canals too while they're snook fishing. So pretty good stuff.
Cool. Is he on break from school or something?
He's done with it.
Graduated?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. didn't mean to go there. All right. Gilcrest Pure.
Nothing. Got nothing there at all.
Okay. The Alligator Creek Reef.
Been some tarpon rolling across it. Some of the mangrove snapper have started to pick up out there also. And I've had a couple of reports of a couple of bluefish and a couple of Spanish mackerel on the southern end of it. Other than that, it's been a little on the quiet side. Most of the guys that are out there are looking for the tarpon right now. So that's kind of been their main focus. Rick got a triple out there 2 days ago, right there at the south end of the reef.
On what?
He was throwing bait busters and ladyfish.
What was he catching?
Tarpon.
Oh, okay. Because you said he got a triple. And I'm like, okay, a triple of what?
Tarpon.
Tarpon, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just trying to figure out what we were tripling up on. Sometimes it's not always as apparent as it could be. All right. The deep hole's out there in the harbor.
Tarpon. Tarpon and catfish. All the catfish you want with only a few tarpon. Depending on the hole.
And that's going to take us down to the bait reports to small in most places.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Not sending people out to catch tiny bait. It's no. Detrimental. And okay, freshwater reports.
The Mayan cichlids and the tilapia are the big thing right now. They're really cooperating well on worms in the Port Charlotte canals, Rotunda, Northport. Just about any freshwater canal you can go to seems to be doing pretty well on them. Josh actually had a pretty interesting idea that he's used before, I guess, is where he takes a beetle spin and uses a piece of nightcrawler on it and casts that out and works it. Because I've heard of guys catching them on beetle spins. We've been selling a few of the beetle spins and little crappie jigs for them too, but kind of an interesting concept to put a little worm on it.
Good idea.
It is. I thought that was pretty good. And the tilapia have been up to like 3.5 pounds. And if you're fishing the spillways along 41, that's where you're getting your better numbers of Mayan cichlids. Because they like that, seem to be a little bit more concentrated in those brackish, whatever you want to call it, saltwater accessibility canals. How's that?
Awesome. I put 41 on the salt side.
Yeah.
At least that's what I was intending in writing, but my fingers have not actually cooperated to getting the words.
Brain exactly. Said this, fingers said that.
Yes.
Yeah, I get that.
Okay. But yeah, beetle spin with a tip of nightcrawler on it, that's an awesome bait.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool idea.
Like, okay. I've done it in saltwater with a tip of shrimp, but I've never used nightcrawler in freshwater, and that's really a good idea. Okay, the tarpon report. Let me get it up here. Okay. And there it is. Yeah, getting my... That one's done. That's done. Okay, I'm going to go the opposite way this time. Night fishing for tarpon?
I'm going to say I haven't heard much at all.
Okay, so now, is there any place where there's a remote chance of a tarpon that could possibly be?
75 and 40, or 75, 41, and El Jobin in the mornings.
Okay. And I'm adding in the railroad trestle and 41 bridge on the Caloosahatchee because I was talking to some guys up there, and I don't know if I have the can get far enough up here to get the Franklin locks on there because there's fish up there too on the Caloosahatchee.
There you go.
Anything possible in the intercoastals or anything?
No, not that I've heard of.
50-50 shot, yellows, what are we looking at?
The Boca Grande Pass. And from Captiva up to Stump Pass on the beaches, but out just a little bit. They seem to be 10 miles out from what I've been hearing from most people. A few people are seeing some up closer to the beaches, but most of the reports are coming out farther.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of circle from the beach out a ways. Trying to give people the idea that goes out there. Okay, red dots. Where's the best bet for tarpon?
That area between marker 6 and marker 4, between Boquillion and Burnt Store kind of area.
Got it.
the 20-foot holes and the mouth of the Myakka. And then I would probably say over by Alligator Creek, between Alligator Creek Reef and Alligator Creek itself, because those fish have been showing up sporadically over there, and this is the time of year they should be there in good numbers.
Okay.
It's definitely going to be one of my first choices to go look for first thing in the morning, because that's always been a favorite place of mine this time of year.
Okay, all that's left for me is to insert that. Anything you can tell me about tarpon that they're doing or not doing?
Ladyfish and any swim bait. Experiment with your colors and sizes on the swim baits, because they seem to be hitting a mixed variety of stuff. One day it's a bait buster, next day it's a storm, the next day it's Joe Blow's brand. It's kind of all over on that one.
Okay. They seem to be moving around the harbor quite a bit.
Well, a lot, yeah. You know, ladyfish is definitely by far your number one choice right now, though, as far as consistency. So, drag one or troll one around and you should do all right. Or even concentrate fishing the areas where you're catching the ladyfish at. Have a real, real good opportunity for a tarpon to show up there. And if it's the slowest ladyfish in the school, chances are he's going to get wrecked.
It's kind of like going out with your friend and going out after bear and saying, you know, hey, I don't have to be faster than a bear. I just have to be faster than you.
Yeah, what are you tying your shoelaces for? You can't outrun him. I don't have to. I just got to outrun you.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, people forget, and that's why a lot of times ladyfish works in schools. They pick yours because it's easier to catch.
Yep.
So, anything else you want to say about this?
No, not that I can think of. Like, just go out there and be prepared for all things right now, because it's starting to get to that funky time of the year where you go out anticipating a school of redfish and come across a school of tarpon, or vice versa. You know, it's getting pretty good out there. I mean, better than what it has been compared to, especially if you go by anyone else's thoughts. But no, it's been great fishing out there and just getting better. We're seeing that kind of pre-fall conditions starting to take place out there, which is cool.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Well, I just saved the fishing report, loading that. I have to remember to do the tarpon map. But outside of that, I think, you know, we can put a nail on this one and call it done, right?
Sounds like a good idea to me.
All right. I'm going to head to the house quick and get you guys to watch the store, so I can go out and see if my pressure tank exploded all over the bottom of the house. That should be fun to check out.
Yeah, that ought to be interesting.
But luckily we got Jeff DePluma.
Yes, so, and his timing was perfect to get it taken care of.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have friends.
Yes.
So anyway, Fishing Frank here, Blaine Tarpon in the chair across from me. God, that, I got to get that switch fixed. Fishing Frank in the chair, Blaine Tarpon in the chair across from me, and we will catch you next week. Thanks for listening, boys and girls, and say hi to the people in Minnesota and Wisconsin and Michigan and New Jersey and New York.
Everyone dealing with this storm on the eastern side, just be safe and be patient. It will get a little better.
The patience is the hard part. I'm thinking a good stiff drink and stay in the hotel bar. Okay, guys, we'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye.